This morning we're looking at Isaiah chapter 21 through 23, and this will be the conclusion of a section that deals with God bringing judgment against the nations. God not only will judge His own people, Israel and Judah, for their sins, but He will also judge any people, including us. And then in the judgment day, all nations will be gathered before Christ, Matthew 25, 30 and following. So all people are judged by God. And so there's a section here in the book of Isaiah that runs from Isaiah 13 through 23 that deals with God's judgment against the nations. And so let's just remember where we are in the book of Isaiah. It's always good to get the big picture in a book before you start looking at the details. So there are basically three sections to the book of Isaiah. There's past condemnation and chapters 1 through 35, and that's the section that we're in this morning. The first 12 chapters primarily deal with God's people, prophecies or condemnation against Israel. And then 13 through 23, prophecies against other nations. And so we're wrapping up that study this morning. And when you look at chapters 13 through 23, you find several nations mentioned. And Babylon is mentioned twice. Babylon is mentioned in chapter 13 and 14, and then also in today's lesson, chapter 21. Philistia, Moab, Damascus, which is the capital of Syria, Ethiopia, Egypt, Duma, which some versions have Edom, and then Arabia, Judah, and Tyre. And even in the section there of all the other nations, even God's people are brought up again there in chapter 22 in this morning's lesson. And when God's people act like the nations around them, they're listed with the nations. And they are listed as a group of people that will be judged too. So when we act like the world around us, God is going to judge us like the world around us. This is similar to Jeremiah 46 through 51. Other nations are mentioned, and Ezekiel 25 through 32. So, the nations. Let's look at a couple of passages up at the top of the chart there. You'll notice Isaiah 13, verse 11. Isaiah 13, 11. And I will punish the world for their evil, not just God's people. I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. Look at chapter 14 and verse 26. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. And then in today's, in our next lesson, when we get to it in chapter 24, verse 1, behold, Jehovah maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. It's not just Judah and Israel, it's all people will be brought under God's judgment. So that's the section that we're wrapping up this morning. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Edom, Seir. You'll notice in today's lesson in chapter 21 and verse 11, one calleth unto me out of Seir, or Mount Seir. This is in Edom. So Duma, some versions have Edom, the south and east of the Dead Sea there a little bit. Arabia, Judah, and Tyre. So God's judgment on the nations. And we looked at this Wednesday night when Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. So during the days of Isaiah, the first part of his ministry in the low 700s B.C., Nineveh, which would have been up in this area, they came down into Palestine on different occasions. And when they did that, they didn't just simply come against Samaria, for example, in 722 B.C., but when they came down, other nations would be subjected to them. And so when Assyria came in, God uses Assyria to punish other peoples that would be in their pathway. And then later, this grayish area is Babylon. When Babylon conquered Assyria, And I believe the capital of Carchemish and Nineveh, they fell around 612 B.C. Then the Babylonian Empire was the great empire. When they came into Palestine, and of course Jerusalem is conquered in 586, when they came down, other nations were subjugated. And so God will use Assyria to conquer nations other than Judah and Babylon, and even Babylon itself, we're going to learn in today's lesson, Babylon itself, which is in this area, is going to be conquered by a nation which is just behind that chart there, and the Medes and the Persians. And so whenever a nation is exerting its power and other groups are subjugated under it, that is God using them to fulfill His judgment. So let's look this morning then at Isaiah 21 through 23. Remember, we made mention that when you go through this section of 13 through 23, try to jot down three things. First of all, the nation that is being mentioned, and if any sin is being mentioned, okay, God is not just saying, hey, I'm going to punish a people just for the fun of it. There's a reason. Now, sometimes it's not stated. It's a little short thing. Philistia was a little short thing, and Edom, and no specific sin is mentioned, but sometimes it is mentioned. And when it is, take note of that. And then, of course, number three, what exactly is mentioned with regard to their, you know, their judgment. So Babylon, chapter 21, we know that their problem was pride. You can go back to chapter 14, verse 13 and get that. There's nothing specifically mentioned about Edom or Arabia. Judah, their problem is they would not look to the Lord. Look at chapter 22 with me and chapter 22, verse 11. But you looked not unto him that had done this. So they had sin in their lives and they wouldn't turn to the Lord. And then look at Tyre. Their problem is pride. Look at chapter 23, verse 9. Jehovah of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory, to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. And he's talking about Tyre there in verse 8. So whenever we sin against the Lord, there's going to be coming judgment. So let's look this morning at chapter 21 with regard to Babylon. Larry, we'll start with you this morning. Number one, what nation does Isaiah speak judgment against in 21 verse 1?
Babylon.
Now, if it weren't for verse 9, it might be a little difficult to identify who's being spoken of here, but because of verse 9, we know that Babylon is under discussion. They are going to fall. Did anyone do the digging deeper, number one there? Why is Babylon described as a wilderness of the sea? Any thoughts on that? Okay, so Babylon is out in a desert area, but there's also what water there? Yeah, there's the Persian Gulf, there's also the Tigris and the Euphrates, and so it's like a bunch, it's like a sea, it's like a bunch of water, but it's also in a desert. So they're described as the wilderness of the sea. And Babylon is under discussion here. Now, since Babylon is under discussion, well, we'll go ahead and take these next few questions. I wanted to go back and say a few things about chapter 13 and 14. That was last Sunday when we couldn't meet. So let's look at number two. Number two, Matthew, what nation does the Lord use to destroy Babylon? Verse two. Right. So he's going to use the Medes and the Persians. And Janice, the next part of that, how does Isaiah describe his feelings concerning this coming judgment? I'm sorry? Okay. Right. So they're not, he's troubled over this. And Notice with regard to Isaiah, make a list of all of his feelings. He doesn't just callously and cold, in some cold, callous way say, y'all are going to be destroyed and good luck with that. He's grieved over that. And we're going to even see it in our next lesson. He weeps, he grieves, and we need to be doing the same. We can't just walk by people who are lost and just callously say, well, good luck with that. You know, we got to do what we can to help them. Okay. So he was very grieved over the situation. But God is going to use the Medes and the Persians. Now let's look at a few Bible passages. Let's look at chapter 13 and verse 17. Chapter 13 and verse 17. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them. So Media and Persia. Turn with me now to Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 11. Jeremiah 51 and verse 11. All of Jeremiah 51 deals with the fall of Babylon. And in verse 11, make sharp the arrows, hold firm the shields. Jehovah hath stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. And then, also in verse 28, but turn with me to Daniel chapter 5. Do you remember when Belshazzar was eating and drinking and having a party and what we call the handwriting on the wall? Daniel chapter 5. And that meeny, meeny, tekel, you farson. And when Daniel explains that, Daniel chapter 5, verse 28, Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then look at verse 30. In that night, Belshazzar the Chaldean was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. This is in about 538 B.C. So what happens is, Assyria is a world empire until Babylon conquers it in about 612 B.C. Carchemish and Nineveh fall. And then Babylon is a world power through much of the 500s B.C. And then in 538 or so, the Medes and the Persians march against Babylon. And they block the water of the Tigris and the Euphrates that flowed into the city. And when they blocked, they diverted the water, and then they just walked right under the wall. It's pretty smart. And so that's Daniel chapter 5. So what's happening here is that Assyria is a world power until they're conquered by Babylon. Then Babylon is a world power Babylon is a world power until they're conquered by the Medes and the Persians. And they come in, their capitals are Ecbatana, Susa, and Persepolis. They come in and conquer Babylon on the night of Daniel chapter 5, about 538 B.C. And some believe it's in October of that year, 539, 538. Now, what's impressive about this is what? When did Isaiah say this? Did he say it the night before it happened? He said it over 100 years before it happened, right? And that's impressive. Isaiah said the Medes are going to come. This is going to be in the low 700s, around 730 B.C. Well, it didn't happen until 539 B.C., over 100 years he prophesied, but he was specific. He didn't just say, some country out there is going to kind of... He was specific. He said the Medes. And so that tells us about the importance of prophecy, that the Bible is specific in foretelling, and that's one reason why the Bible is the Word of God, is fulfilled prophecy. No other book of man has ever done that before. So note that. Okay? We didn't do that lesson on chapter 13 and 14, but I believe that was one of my... that was one of my applications that I really wanted us to think about. Number two, under chapter 13 and 14, prophets guided by the Holy Spirit are able to predict the future with detailed accuracy. That's why we follow God's word and nothing else. No other book has done that. Okay, people guess all the time. Like I can say, well, next week there's going to be a Super Bowl and, you know, Carolina is going to win. Well, I mean, you know, that's a pretty educated guess, but it's nothing like detailed prophecy over 100 years into the future. So that's something that we need to think about. Okay, number three. Mike, number three. Who is set up? What does he see? And what does he say? We're back now to chapter 21. Right, so this watchman is set up, and I see Babylon falling. And so God's judgment against Babylon. What was their problem? Well, when you turn back to chapter 13, you find that one of their main problems was that of pride. Chapter 14, verse 13, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of congregation in the uttermost parts of the earth. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. You don't do that. You don't say that. You don't think that. So pride. Nebuchadnezzar had a pride problem. We know that from Daniel 4. And pride is one of their big problems. And so God is going to bring the Medes against them, and they're going to be utterly laid waste. Chapter 13, verse 20, 21, 22. So this is the lesson we didn't get to look at in detail, but Babylon is being discussed here in chapters 13 and 14. Right toward the end, Philistia is being discussed. Okay, so Janice Evans, number four. What is the fall of Babylon compared to? Right, it's like God threshing out the grain on a threshing floor. They're going to be sifted and threshed like one would do that on a threshing floor. Okay? Let's come now to the next nation that is mentioned, Duma or Edom, and what is said of that. Patricia, number five. Right, Duma or Edom. If you look at the verse there, verse 11, it says Seir. We're talking about down here the south east portion of the Dead Sea area, Edom, and they had a high area that they're proud as well. It's one of their problems, but that's not mentioned here in chapter 21. What does this watchman, what question is asked the watchman, Eric?
What is the name and it's repeated twice.
Right. And there's different things that are said on this. It's possible that the meaning there is that the watchman is saying, the morning is coming, you know, things are great for Edom, but also the night is coming as well. And so things are going to be bad for Edom in the future. But judgment upon Edom. And then the next nation, Arabia, we move even, you know, farther into the east. That Duma on this particular map might need to be over there a little bit farther to the left. But now we're over into, you know, definitely southeast of the Dead Sea. We're over in the Arabian area. And you'll notice that when you look at these cities and so forth, look at verse 14, Tema. One of Job's friends was a Temanite. Some people believe that the book of Job takes place over in this area of Arabia because Job is living in this area where he's got friends from this area. But we don't know that for sure. But over in Arabia. So what nation are we looking at now? Number seven, Joyce?
Arabia.
Arabia. And all of these, the Dedan, Tema, Kedar, if you look at, on a map, that's where these places are located. Okay? Sherry, number 14. How are the people of this place described, and how long does it take for their glory to fail?
What number?
Number 8.
Thirsty and within 1 year.
Right, within 1 year, they're going to fall. And so they're described as fleeing from the sword and running and fugitives and that type of thing, because an invading army is coming upon them. Number 9. Mason, what nation does Isaiah speak judgment against? Right. Now we're down to chapter 22, verse 1. So, in chapter 21, verses 1 through 9, the Lord pronounces judgment upon Babylon, the wilderness of the sea. He uses the Medes to do it. Isaiah is pained and dismayed concerning this coming judgment. The watchman is set up. He sees the coming army and announces, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon." The fall of Babylon is compared to a threshing floor that is trodden down. When you hook the ox on the end of a long pole and he walks around in a circle, on the inside of that is the millstone. Okay. Sometimes it was done that way, or sometimes they just put it on the floor, on the ground, and the oxen trampled it. So it's an idea of being trodden or trampled or ground up. And so you'll see that different places in the Old Testament, threshing, and it's used for God's judgment. It's like he's, trampling on people, to judge them. The Lord pronounces judgment upon Duma or Edom. And then the Lord pronounces judgment upon Arabia. There's going to be a grievous war to this people. Within 1 year, her glory fails. Now we're down to Judah. In verses 1 through 9, the chapter 22, the Lord pronounces judgment upon Judah. The people of Jerusalem are joyous, but they are led away captive. Isaiah weeps over the coming judgment. Jerusalem is destroyed and broken down. Did you notice that in the text? We're up to number 10 now, Larry. Number 10, how are the people of Judah and Jerusalem described?
They're joyous, they're not in sorrow or sackcloth.
Right. That's a problem, and it's a problem today, and it's always been a problem. And we're going to mention this again when we get to verse 13, but we're just having a good old time. And, it's all good. Yeah, it's all good. And that's the phrase that is used today. It's fine. We're good. Everybody's having a good time. But they're sinning. They're not living right. And so this attitude of joy, but they don't realize that there's going to be coming judgment upon them. And so when God's people get to a point where they're very prosperous and they're doing well, then often they leave God and they think they're fine. And we don't have time to look at this morning, but if you look at the nation of Israel and Judah, particularly in the 800s BC and the 700s BC, they were a very prosperous nation, literally, physically, materially. They had a lot of money. They built a lot of nice things during those years, but they were also leaving God. And the prophets talk about this. Do you remember Amos? Amos chapter 6, he said, "You people are sitting around on beds of ivory and you're having a good time, but you have left the Lord." And so there was a time here, roughly 200 years or so, where they were very materialistically prosperous, economically, politically powerful, And they slowly went away from God. So they're having a good old time. But then comes verse 5, their day of destruction is coming. So we have to be very careful about this kind of thing, even in our life today. Okay, so they're described as having a good time. Okay, and how does Isaiah then describe his feelings concerning the coming judgment? Matthew number 11. Right, I weep bitterly, verse 4, and it's the same as what we saw in chapter 21. in verse 3. The people are having a good old time. They're laughing it up, living in their sin. But Isaiah, being the spiritually minded prophet that he is, he sees the real situation and he's weeping over God's people. And what happens to Jerusalem in the coming day of judgment? Mike?
It's a day of trouble, treading down, vegetation's removed, great damage.
Right. And different people suggest different kinds of invasions here. But when you look at the fact, like at verse 10, you break down the houses to fortify the wall. This would definitely be true of the Babylonian captivity of Judah and Jerusalem when they finally came in and attacked Jerusalem. Some think it might have been when Sennacherib came up against Jerusalem in 701. I mean, that's possible. But it looks like a pretty serious devastation here of Jerusalem. And so that would definitely fit the Babylonian captivity of 586. But either way, Jerusalem is going to be judged and brought down. And what's the reason? Verse 11, you looked not unto him that had done this, neither had you respect unto him that purposed it long ago. And in verse 12, instead of weeping and so forth, there's, you know, joy and gladness and slaying oxen and having a good time. What is the attitude of the people concerning their coming judgment? Janice? Right. Where is that phrase found in the New Testament? Where does Paul quote that or use that? Anybody got a... Yeah, I had in mind 1 Corinthians 15. The Luke 17 passage, that's the one about when the Lord comes, it's going to be like the days of Noah, when they were marrying and giving in marriage and eating and drinking. But the Luke 15, and I'm sorry, the 1 Corinthians 15, what were the people saying there? Why were they saying eat and drink for tomorrow we die? What was one of their beliefs? Yeah, there's no resurrection, so you might as well party and live it up, right? Once you die, you're not going to be resurrected. So, I may end up doing a sermon on this, so I'm not going to say much more about that because then I won't have anything to say in the sermon. But it's a common attitude even today that if you have a feeling about something in the future and it's the wrong thing, often you say, well, let's might as well party and live it up now. And that's what's going on here. So they wouldn't turn to God. Look at verse 12. They wouldn't weep. They wouldn't mourn. They wouldn't repent. That's sackcloth. They wouldn't come to God. They just, hey, if we're going to be judged, if we're going down, we might as well go down, you know, in a flame, you know, just live it up. What a terrible attitude. So it's something to think about. So God's people are thrown in here with this judgment of the nations because they were acting like the nations and they're going to be judged like the nations. Okay, Patricia, number 14, please. What does the Lord do to Shebna and why?
He was thrown down by...
I'm sorry?
He was thrown down violently.
Yeah, he was thrown down violently. And what is his problem? Verse 16. Pride, he's self-serving. Look at this tomb that I have built for myself in the rock. Look up there. Isn't that awesome? That's where I'm going to be buried one day. So selfish and self-serving and proud, and that's his problem. And he's going to be removed. And who replaces Shebna, Eric? And how is he described? Number 15,
Eliakim,
right. And how is he described?
He is father of the inhabitants of the house.
Right, he's going to be like a nail that is fastened. There's going to be a period of time and where Judah is going to be firm and strong, and Eliakim is given his duties. We're going to see this later in the book of Isaiah. He's going to be given his duties in the days of Hezekiah. And those are days of reform. Those are days where God's, where the people turn to God. So they're going to be like a nail fastened. There's going to be a time when things are going to be fixed. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house. However, look at verse 25. Even though that is the case, in that day, saith Jehovah of hosts, shall the nail that was fastened in a sure place give way. There will be a time after that that Jerusalem does give way. And that, of course, is going to be the Babylonian captivity. But for a time there during Hezekiah's reign, when Eliakim is with Hezekiah, he's going to be like a nail fastened for God's people. Okay. Look at verse... how is Eliakim described in verse 20 compared to Shebna? How is he described? My servant. Okay. That's what God is looking for. Not the self-serving, selfish, proud individual, but someone who's serving me. Shebna was all about me, and look at my sepulcher that I've hewed out in the habitation of the rock. But someone who is a servant, not someone who's a proud man. Okay? That's a good lesson for us. Okay. Number 16, Joyce. Tyre. Now we're up to Tyre. So the people of Judah, chapter 21, verses 12 through 14, they should be weeping over this coming judgment. They should be turning to God, but they don't. All they do is party. Shebna is a self-serving, proud man. He's going to be replaced by the Lord's servant, Eliakim. There's going to be a period of time where it's like he's like a nail fastened for God's people, and Jerusalem will continue on. But then in time, verse 25, even the nail is going to be taken away. Okay, now we're up to Tyre. Chapter 23, verses 1 through 7. The Lord pronounces judgment upon Tyre. This city is a coastal city. So now if you go from Jerusalem, go up north, okay, and then over to the coast, Tyre and Sidon, northern Palestine. This city is a coastal city, and it's called the Market of the Nations, I believe the New American Standard says. What would that be, a market of the nations? What kind of a city was this? It's a coastal city, but what were they?
Seaport.
Yeah, seaport that traded with other nations. That was their trade. Ships coming in, ships going out. They were very much of a merchant or a market for the nations by way of the sea. Okay. Well, the problem with that was they got glorious, they got proud, they got very wealthy through that. If you're landlocked, your economy is more limited than if you can get out on your boats and go take your wares all the way across the Mediterranean. Look at verse 6. Pass over to Tarshish. This is modern-day Spain. So you can go all the way to Spain. You can go down to Egypt and the Nile. Verse 5, you see? So it really makes you powerful and rich and that type of thing. She trades with other nations, but she's going to be brought down, and these nations that she trades with are pained at her destruction. And who is it that does this? Is this just, world events unfolding on their own? How is this coming about? Sherry, number 17. That'll be number 18. Number 17. Right. How could this great seaport nation, be brought down? I thought they were all powerful, you see. And who purposes judgment against them, Mason?
God is the
one who authorizes the judgment against the land.
Right. Jehovah of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory. This is not just a coincidence or an accident or just purely human events unfolding. God is behind all of this, and not just this, but all of it. 13 through 23, all the nations, all things have to do with God. Do you remember the statement? This will be in our next lesson when we get up to chapter 24, that God is the one who's going to do this. And so it's attributed to God. Okay? Number 19. Larry, who brings judgment upon Tyre, and what happens for 70 years? Right. I was thinking also of verse 13. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not. The Assyrians founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They set up their towers. They overthrew the palaces thereof. They made it a ruin. How, ye ships of Tarshish, and so forth. So Babylon is going to be used to come in. And what happened was, when Babylon came down and conquered Jerusalem in 586 B.C., one of the places that they passed through on the way down was Tyre and Sidon. And then later, they're brought down again in the days of the Greeks. But God's going to use Babylon to destroy this nation. The city of Tyre is laid waste by Babylon for 70 years. And then what happens afterward? What happens at the end of 70 years, Matthew?
The Lord will visit Tyre, and she will return her wages and will prostitute herself, along with the kings of the world. Her merchandise, her wages will be holy, and the Lord will not be stored on the Lord, and her merchandise will supply abundant food, clothing for those as well as for the Lord.
Right. Verse 17, she's going to go back to being a very much of a prosperous city that will, once again be a merchandise to other nations. But verse 17, she shall play the harlot with the kingdoms of the world. She's going to go back to being the way she was, but there's going to be a difference. And one thing that's going to be different is in verse 18, she's going to supply some things for the Lord. Does anybody have an idea of when this might have happened? When would Tyre and Sidon supply physical things that benefited the Lord? When they were rebuilding the temple. So when you look at Ezra chapter 3 and Ezra and Nehemiah, materials came from Tyre and Sidon to rebuild the temple. So that's probably what this is a reference to. So she's going to come back and go back to her ways, but some of that is going to involve the cedars of Lebanon and the wood, especially, that came down from Hiram, king of Tyre. Hiram was in the days of Solomon, and then later in the days of rebuilding the temple. So that wraps up our study of the judgment on the nations. Any questions or comments or observations about that? So, especially in this section, just kind of have a general idea in your mind on a map where these different nations are located. That would be a good thing to do, just some basic geography there. Number four on the digging deeper, why is Judah and Jerusalem, why would they be described as the Valley of Vision? 22:1. Any thoughts on that? Okay, that might be one thought. The word vision is used a lot in the Old Testament prophets with regard to what?
Prophecy,
God's word. The way that God revealed his word to people through different visions. And so this is a description of God's people in Jerusalem as the place where God reveals his word. That's where his law is. So it's described as the Valley of Vision. I wanted to mention that. What about chapter 23, verse 3? What is the shy whore? I try to put things in the digging deeper that might not be just readily understandable. We might have to dig a little bit or compare some other passages. And that the reason I do that is that if you'll answer the regular questions and then answer the digging deeper, you will know just about everything that you need to know basically in that chapter. And you could teach the chapter yourself. That's why I do that. If you ever wondered why I do the digging deeper, if you answer the regular questions and the digging deeper, you could teach that chapter. You would know a lot of the basics about that chapter. So that's why I do that. But what is the shy whore in chapter 23, verse 3? It's mentioned also in Joshua 13, verse 3. It's another name for a water body in Egypt. Somebody read Joshua 13, verse 3 for me. Joshua 13, verse 3. You've got the Nile.
From the shy whore to the east of Egypt.
Right. It's another expression for the brook of Egypt, or a water body in Egypt. So it stands for Egypt. But like the Nile, it's the brook of Egypt. Okay, the Shihor. So locate these places, you know, on a map, and we understand the different nations. Now, as we come to a close this morning, let's look at a few applications. Number one, we need to be hurt and horrified concerning the Lord's coming judgment. That's the way Isaiah felt. That's the way we need to feel. We don't need to be all, you know, happy and giddy and, oh, it's no big deal, you know, just live it up, have a good time. We need to be concerned about our soul's salvation and those around us, the loved ones around us. We don't just need to be, you know, we talk about like a birthday party and an anniversary celebration. You know, there's times to be joyous in life. But this is the attitude of not caring about the coming judgment. You're just having a good old time, you know. And next Sunday, you know, Super Bowl, drinking beer and watching football, having a good time. And people don't care about their soul's judgment. And so we need to be very concerned about that. Isaiah was, and we need to be as well. What did Jesus do when he got to Jerusalem in Luke 19:41? He wept over the city. And we need to do some more of that in our country and maybe in our own personal lives. Number two, when people are punished by the Lord, they need to learn to turn to the Lord. And that Judah didn't do that. Judah had been punished before different times in their history. This wasn't the first time that judgment was upon them. God used other times and places and people to judge them, but they wouldn't come back to God. They wouldn't learn their lesson. And we need to learn our lesson and make sure that we've turned to God. And then number three, we do not need to have a frivolous and carefree attitude toward the Lord's coming judgment. You know, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. No, let us turn to the Lord and get serious. And a lot of people, when you want to talk with them about spiritual things, they're like, nah, I don't want to talk about that. And I've got more important things in life, and I want to have a good time. And we've got to get them to see the seriousness of their coming judgment as well as ours. Thank you for your time and attention. Lord willing, we will look at chapters 24 and 25 on Wednesday night. Thank you.